I have a message, and it's just a thought I want to put into your heart. I'm going to ask you to repeat it quite a few times so that when you get into ministry, when you get into situations, then it'll come ringing back to you and you remember what was said. And what I want to entitle this is, what God calls you to, He'll see you through. Can you all say that? What God calls you to, He'll see you through. Now say it to your neighbor. Okay. We have to get that. Because what I find is that when I went to Bible school, they didn't really prepare you for the battle that was to come. Like you're going to a war. But I just want to mention something else first, because I'm going to be meeting up with the men this afternoon. I had no idea what I was going to be sort of talking about, but I'm just going to address it in a general way. I'm going to title it, How to Find a Wife. Hello there. We got one hallelujah out of that. I've been in a couple Bible schools and I know what goes on. See, you got Esther House, you got Caleb House. In the Caleb House, you got a bunch of guys, and Esther House, you got a bunch of girls, and you got all these young ones with all this chemistry going on. I think it's going on right now. And see, God has called you here for a purpose. No, God has a plan for your life. The devil's got a plan for your life. One of the schools I went to in Florida, they had a rule. No dating. Is that the same thing here? No dating. And some people tried to stretch the rules. It's there for a purpose, especially. There's very few Bible schools like this, you know. Very few. Some of the stuff that's coming out now is very watered down, and it's even a universalistic God that's being taught in Bible schools now. So the enemy will try to get you off track, and he's going to use hormones and stuff to do it. Hello there. How many people know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to be talking this subject right now, but I feel while I have the ladies here, I'm just going to address the whole group. And I'll give a story. I remember this, I was in Florida in this course, and it was a no dating school. And there was a couple, they decided to not follow the rule. When you don't follow the rules of the school, what is that called? Rebellion. It never goes well for rebels. It doesn't. I've seen devastation. I have people lose their calling and go in total devastation. So this couple, they decided to go against the rules. And this one, and God was trying to get hold of him. And we'd be in the sanctuary, and this guy, he was from England, and he would be literally attacked by fleas. He'd be the only one. He's beaten off these bugs or right in the sanctuary. And you have a spray thing trying to spray them off. He'd be the only one being touched by this stuff. And he ended up, they left the course, this couple. Then I met the woman about 4 years later at a conference. I think it was in Philadelphia somewhere. And I bumped into her. I says, I remember you from that school in Florida. And she said, she went through 4 years of hell after that. It was a total, the guy was a wolf. He was in there and just got her right off the course and the beaten track. You know, so I'm not going to be speaking on that now, but I just thought I'd address it. You know, try to follow the rules. If you feel things stirring up, go run around the 100 acres. I saw the guys in their track suits. That's good. Keep it going. Keep in shape. You know, but the Lord has a plan for you, and the enemy has a plan for you, and he wants to get you off course. I remember in another school I was in, and I went to a French Bible school. And I remember some of the stuff that was going on there. There was, man, you're even passing notes through the walls and through the grates and stuff like this. And all sorts of stuff like this. And they missed out on what God had for them. See, the devil comes to kill, rob, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so, beware. Okay? That's all I'm going to say in that. I'll speak to the guys later. How to find a wife. Actually, I can actually say the whole thing in two words. So you'll have to come though this afternoon to hear what those words are. I want to get back to the main message. And that's that you don't have to, okay, what did I just tell you to say now? What's it called? Let's see if you remember it. Yeah. What God calls you to, he'll see you through. We are living in a world today that's totally upside down. I have a woman come to my church. She's, 28. She has 5 children from 5 different men. This is becoming more and more common. Now, how do you deal with something like this? What do you do? The stuff in our area is a high rate of suicide. Unemployment's around 18%. Declining population. Drugs, you can get them anywhere. They're actually selling drugs door to door. They knock on the door. We want to buy some drugs. That's what's going on. That's the type of world we live in. So you are going to need the power of the Holy Spirit more than ever before. Because nothing's too difficult for the Lord. We just live in that world. Just recently, just before I left, just in our area, a young fellow was with a girl and she got pregnant. They had a baby and the girl said to him, look, I don't want anything to do with this kid. You do something with it or I'm going to leave you. So what did the young fellow do? 20 years old, stabbed the baby with multiple wounds. This is just in our area. This is the type of world that you are going out into, and you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing's too difficult for the Lord. We live in a fallen world, and God is going to use you as channels of blessing to those that are in bondage. I think the New Age has stolen the term channeling. You've heard of that? New Age channelers? God wants to use you as a channel, you know, to reach out. And to be reconcilers. No, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, all things are of God and has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. For those who are in enmity against God, you can bring the life that will restore that relationship. That's what God is calling you to. Now, God's call to minister can't be from a human perspective. Right now they have what I call designer Christianity. Have you heard that term before? Designer Christianity? Well, you just fashion your own Jesus and you make your own God and you just redesign him according to what you desire. Designer Christianity. Very common today. It's not the talent you have, but it's your availability and your humility that God can use for the furtherance of his kingdom. See, God doesn't choose the wise things, he chooses the foolish things. You know, in 1 Corinthians, you know, 1, 27-28, you know, he chooses the foolish things, you know, to put to shame the wise. And, I just to give you an example, I had a man. His wife was coming to our church. Her husband was one of the most confused men I have ever seen. Total confusion. He didn't even know what he believed, and he tried to explain what he believed, and he even got confused trying to explain what he thought he believed. Total confusion. Then just last year, went to the altar call to receive Jesus. The confusion left. Now he has a simplicity of faith and clarity of mind. That's what God is calling you to. He wants to be that channel of blessing and to others. Now, I'm just going to mention a little bit about the call to ministry. The call to ministry. The call to ministry comes from God's choice, not your choice. It's God's choice. And it says in Psalm 75, 6 and 7, "For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is a judge. He puts down one and sets another up." See, everything starts from heaven. And we just have to be open to what he wants us to do. Another thing I've noticed is that you don't have to look for ministry. Ministry looks for you. That's my own personal experience. You don't have to look for ministry. Ministry will find you. How many could say, who've been in ministry a little bit? That's Brother James. You found that was the for you. I've seen a lot of people looking for ministry. I used to be with the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. I was a field representative for Eastern Ontario, which covered quite a few miles. And I remember the head of the whole organization of Canada. He told me one thing. He says, "Never use anybody who's pushing himself to minister." And he says, "You'll avoid 99% of the problems." You don't have to look for ministry. Ministry will find you. You look to the Lord, and he'll put you where he wants you to be. That's a lesson I've seen. It's Acts 13:2. And as they, here's the principle. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." So they were, your main task is minister to the Lord. And ministering to the Lord, out of that flows ministry. Now what I recommend you to do also is that I've always taken notes. I've got a notebook when I went to the School of Evangelism in Lausanne, Switzerland. I lived in Europe for a year and a half. I wrote down everything. You know that even to this day, 20 some odd years later, I still refer back to some of those notes that I wrote. You know, because what I'm saying to you now might not mean anything to you, but maybe 10 years down the road, something will come out that will give you life and get you through a situation, whatever it might be. So you don't have to look for ministry. Ministry looks for you. That doesn't mean just sit back in a chair sipping a Diet Coke. I remember a head of a ministry said, actually it was John Wimber said, I was there where Pastor Carter spoke at one of the conferences in Ottawa. And here's what he said. The Christian walk is this. Sit back, relax, sip a Diet Coke, and enjoy the ride. It's not surprising that whole laughing revival that came out of Toronto came out of that ministry. You know, it's not a sit back and relax type of ministry when you're following the Lord. It can be hardship. You get the invisible enemies warring against your soul constantly, especially when you get into leadership. I never had any enemies until I became a leadership in the Christian ministry. Everything was fine, but you get into leadership, you're a target of the devil. You're a target when you come to the Lord. And so God places everybody in the body for his purpose. See, it's not for us, it's for him. And it says, you are unique. Did you know there's nobody else like you? There's nobody else like you. Maybe some people said, thank goodness for that. No. No, there's a lot of things. No, you're all unique. There's a lot of things you can't change in your life. You can't change who your parents are. You can't change, you know, when you were born. You can't change where you were born. You can't change in the country that you were born. You can't change who your brothers and sisters are. You can't change who your parents are. You can't change the date that you were born. You can't change your race, although some people try to do with chemicals and whatever today. Can't change your DNA. You can't change your blood type. You can't change your sex, although there are certain things that surgeons are doing that today. But the norm is that you don't normally change your sex. So some people want to do that. And you can't change your mental capacity. You can maximize it. I wasn't born with the greatest mental capacity. I had to work for it. When I went to university, I had to use the sweat method. Matter of fact, when I got accepted for a master's degree in counseling in Queen's University, Secular University, they put me through all these tests. And I sat down with a counselor. He said, look, I got to tell you this. He says, you're functioning like a Cadillac, but you have a Volkswagen brain. In other words, what he was saying, like, I only had this type of mental capacity, but I was using it to the maximum. When I went to Bible school, my mind is like a sieve sometime. And I went to a French Bible school, and we had to, just one half course, we had to memorize 50 scriptures for this course. So I had to start, months ahead to memorize them. And this one girl was in the same course. I asked her, she was only 18, I'm one of the older ones in the school. I said, have you memorized the scriptures yet? Well, I'm going to start tonight. She memorized all 50 that night. I spent 3 months trying to memorize the faith. That's what I was born with. I didn't have that type of mental capacity. And we have to be content with the way God made us. Now, we have all sorts of things out there trying to make you discontent. Ever seen those rag magazines? I call them rag mags. With all this advertising, how to have better abs. And, how to lose 10 pounds in 4 days. How to lose 15 pounds in 2 days. And all those other things. Yeah. What they're focusing on you because they're trying to make you uncomfortable so that you'll buy their product. They're making you discontent through advertising. Be content with the way God made you. We're all different. You're unique. There's nobody else like you. And God wants to use you just the way you are. Isn't that good news? He can use you just the way you are. When you're in your calling, God prepares the way. When I first came to the Lord, I was a school teacher by profession. And I started teaching Sunday school. I got involved in an interchurch college and career group. Then I was with the Gideons, field representative, full gospel businessman. And then I went to Youth of the Mission in Lausanne, Switzerland for a school evangelism. And I went into Africa doing evangelism. And I went through evangelism through France. It just sort of flowed. I didn't have to go looking for it. It just happened. And then I sensed when I was teaching school, it was time to break off my secular job and move somewhere else. And so I handed my resignation from school teaching. At that time, I was getting about $1,100 a week. And I had these four opportunities to go back to Africa. They asked me to lead teams, to go to a counseling school. But I had no peace about it. So here I am, I quit my job. I have no peace. And I feel God calling me. Then out of the blue, I got a call from Pastor Conlon. You know him. You saw him here yesterday. He said, in prayer, you're the only name I get to come and pastor these French people. I said, okay. I had an instantaneous witness. I didn't have to look for it. It came to me. And so I went to work for $50 a week. $50 a week, and I had a $15,000 debt. But I knew that God had called me. Within 1 year, I had no more debt. Yeah. See, when God calls you, He'll what? When God calls you, He'll see you through, no matter what it is. When God calls you, and you got to know He's calling, there is no power in hell that can stop you. Nothing can stop you when you're walking in God's calling and He wants you. Nothing. There'd be many forces trying to stop you. And I'll share that with you in a moment. And as you abide in Him, He will act in His time, in His ways, in His place. And He'll do it the way He wants it, not the way you want it. Because we have preconceptions of how ministry or how God is going to use us, don't we? Sometimes we get an idea, I'm going to be this great evangelist, and I'm going to be preaching to thousands. But maybe God will call you to the small place. It says in Zechariah 4:10, Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. You know, and so here's just a handful of Israelites returning from Babylon. Small things. Now, are you ready to start in the small things? I remember when I was called to YWAM to go to the School of Evangelism, we had tasks to do. We had about 150 in the school, and we had these jobs that we had to do. And my job was to wash dishes for 150 people every day, 7 days a week. And not only that, they gave me double duty. I had to clean the stoves and mop the floors. And after the first week, I started complaining. Hey, God, I'm here to do evangelism. I come here to see souls saved. And here I'm washing dishes. Ooh, did I ever get a rebuke from the Lord? Washing dishes. A small thing. Then when I went into Africa after that, guess what I had to do? Wash dishes. Small things. They seem like insignificant things, but just imagine, try to imagine this. You're feeding 150 people and nobody's washing the dishes. It'd be kind of a mess. Be unhealthy. Be picking up swine flu rather quick. So are you ready to start in small things? I remember a fellow, tremendous potential. Pastor Conlon mentioned him here last night. We both know him. He came to my church, went to his church. And he wanted to go into ministry to start in big things. He wanted to start with a big salary, a big church. And today, tremendous potential, became ahead of this and all sorts of things. And tremendous potential. He's drinking a 40 ounce of rum a week. Marriage falling apart. Debts all over the place. Seed of rebellion. Could not submit and walk under authority. Couldn't walk under authority. Which is a whole other message. I got it in here. Walk under authority. If you want to do a pre-reading on it, you can see it in Numbers. Remember Miriam? You know, she was a song leader. Yeah, look up her name in Hebrew. What does it say? Bitterness and rebellion. The two walk hand in hand. So that's another. I don't want to get off track. That's a rabbit trail. A specific call to ministry. You'll have that inward witness. Be occupied where you are in the small things. Then you get that specific call. Maybe to something bigger. I don't know. God knows. So you want to be in tune with Him. I'm skipping some stuff here. I just want to move on. See, when I got the call from Pastor Conlon, we worked together. He was a police officer. I was a school teacher. And here we are starting this, going into this area where they said, you'll never be able to start a church there. People have tried and they burned out. There's demonic strongholds in that area. Here's two of us. He didn't have any biblical training. I didn't have any biblical training. So we just fumbled along together and learned from each other and rebuked each other and encouraged one another. See, when you go into ministry, sometimes you don't see the results right away. Adoniram Judson, how many have heard of him? He ministered in Burma. I think it's called Myanmar today, or Myanmar. He worked for 7 years laboring there, in jail, and whatever, the whole shoot match, before he had his first convert. 7 years he labored. So sometimes in the ministry, when you're working, you don't see the fruit of it right away. Maybe you'll see it 10 years down the road. So you got to be aware for that too. But we have to remember, what God calls you to, say it again. Especially when you get into some of the rough waters. And I can tell you, boy, there's a lot of rough waters in ministry. You know? But if He's called you to it, He'll make sure that you get through it with His resources. You want to make sure that you go with God's calling. How many know that you can go into ministry, but motivated by self? I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures on that. Philippians 1, 15, 16, and 7, 18. It says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. Imagine preaching Christ for envy and strife. That's your motivation. Because you're envious of somebody else, so you're going to, I'll show him. I've seen that type of thing. Horrible spirit. Then it says in Philippians 1:16, it says, the former preached Christ from selfish ambition. Imagine preaching Christ for selfish ambition. And it says here, not sincerely. Preaching Christ not sincerely. Supposing to add affliction to my chain. But here's the attitude you got to have in ministry, because you get to run into all types of stuff. The Apostle Paul's attitude. Here's what he says in verse 18 of Philippians. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, as I will rejoice. He was just glad that the gospel being preached. Didn't take offense. I mean, in ministry, you can get offended any time you want, every day of the week, pretty well. But he had the gracious attitude, walked in humility. Here's another point. Ministry. You're into a war. It's not a church picnic. Into war. You must always remember that you are in a war. When you come to Christ, you're in a war. When you come to this school, the devil will try to get you out of here. I would probably venture a guess, even probably some of you are here in the first year, some of you have tried to get out of here. Hello? Would I be right in saying that? Because I've seen that happen in Bible schools. And you get these thoughts come into your mind. And they say, I'm getting out of here. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do, run and fly. See, your mind is bombarded with thoughts all the time. Even since you've been in this room, you've had thoughts go into your mind that might not even be centered on what I'm speaking here today. Isn't that true? You got to fight again. Now, thoughts will always come. No, you get thoughts of temptation. You got a whole bunch of boys up in this role. A whole bunch of girls up in this role. Thoughts and things will come into your mind. And the thing is, you can't stop thoughts from coming into your mind. I think he said it the best. He says, just like the birds in the air, you cannot stop them from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. See, what happens in, a thought comes in that might be not of God, and then you start jumping on that thought, then you click into imagination. And then when the imagination starts winding up, then it goes into the second gear. Anybody ever have that before? Yeah, okay. You got to use the Western approach. You got to head it off at the pass, you know. Because when the imagination and the will come into conflict, it's the imagination will win over the will most of the time. And we're being bombarded by everything through advertising, internet, TV. There's stuff going through this right now that we can't see in the invisible realm. And that's a whole other message. But you got to remember that you are in a war. It says in 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See the terminology? Soldier. Warfare. That's what it is. And so many drop out of the race. I believe right now, according to what I read, there's 1,500 to 2,000 pastors in the States that quit every month. Some of the stuff they get to deal with. It's unbelievable. Some of the stuff. But when God, what God calls you to, He'll see you through. Get that ingrained in your mind. What time do we finish here? 12:30 about? Okay. I just finished the introduction. No. Now I got really worried now. Should have brought my pillow, they said. I'll just give you an example of some of the things we go through. Pastor Carter called me to pastor this church. He had a handful of French people in his church. And so we went into a house. That's where we started. Starting church in the house. But little did I know that the owner of the house, and I worked for the owner of the house, I lived in the house of the owner, and the church was in the house, and the owner of the house was a wolf. So I lived in a wolf house. And that's where the church was. And they, as soon as I arrived, the undermining started. He was trying to take over. So what do you do when something like that is going on? And of course, we all had an hour of prayer before the meeting. And this is where I started learning. I would open up, I'd take the Psalms, and I'd pray the Psalms. You know, some of the Psalms are pretty, boy, against the old devil. And I say, God, break their teeth, those that are trying to destroy this work, that are coming against this work. And here they are standing there. And his wife was the song leader. And they were both plotting to boot me out. I'd only been there a month. And to take over. And here I'm praying, I'm on my knees, I just take the Psalms, I pray it out. I'd be going like this, you know. And it would hit them so hard, sometimes she couldn't even lead in worship. I'd have to do it. And so this warfare was going on. And eventually I found out there was slandering back when I had the evidence. So I went to the district overseer. Then he admitted he was doing it. And he said, I'm only joking. And okay. Well, to make a long story short, we moved the church out of the church. And Pastor Carr and I, we rented a school. And moved it out. And when you're in those things, you know the guy's doing this. He's undermining you, trying to take over and things like this. What God calls you to, he'll see you through. So these are types of things. And not only that, there's some real funny stuff too, but the sense of humor of the Lord. He teamed up with another guy in the church, and they went to the town 2 hours away where I taught school, and they tried to dig up dirt against me to try to find some things that I had done wrong, and they were going to come back with a big bag of dirt against me. Well, what happened? Here's a town of 21,000. They started knocking on doors. They ended up knocking on the door of one of my friend's house who knows the Bible inside out. Come on in. Man, that guy took the word. He just pummeled. He left the house shaking. He had him for 2 hours there. So here it is. They can drive 2 hours trying to dig up dirt on me. He ends up in my friend's house who knows the word inside out. And so they came back shaking. He just let them have it with the word. See, what God calls you to, he'll see you through. And so we're not wrestling against flesh and blood here, it says in Ephesians. You're in a war. You're in a war. And the enemy's going to try to get you off track, right, especially in here. He doesn't want you to be in a school like this. He'll try to take away your anointing that you have and try to get you off on another track. Psalm 121, 2 and 3, it says, my help comes from the Lord who's made heaven and earth, and he shall not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The God who never sleeps is always looking over you. Hallelujah. Now, here, the school preaches truth. You know, there's a lot of Bible schools. Truth is fallen in the streets, as it says in Isaiah. Whenever you preach the truth, you're going to get opposition. You're going to get violent opposition. People's fallen hearts don't want to hear the truth. And so the battle gets really tough sometimes when you start speaking the truth, but the true call of God will see you through. What God calls you to, he'll see you through. So your thing is to make sure you have the true call of God. I remember, I think it was John Wesley. Thousands and thousands came to the Lord under his ministry. One day he had tremendous opposition. I mean, they wouldn't allow him to preach in the churches or anything. He had to go preach in the fields. And one day he had no opposition for 3 days. Nothing, no resistance. He got off, he said, something must be wrong, I gotta go repent. So he got down on his knees, and when he was on his knees, somebody threw a brick at him. He said, thank you, Lord, praise the Lord. See, when you're preaching the truth, then you're going to get opposition. You got to expect it. You're in a war. You got truth, air. And people will be throwing bricks at you. Maybe not physical bricks, but they're throwing other types of bricks at you. And see, what happens, there's a tendency to look back when the going gets rough. Remember when I was called to this church with Pastor Carter, after 6 months, I decided it's time to resign. I handed my resignation, but I had the call, I handed my resignation. I started reasoning. See, I could have been in Africa now, seeing hundreds come to the Lord, because I've seen that. I would have been with Carlo Bagnoli, where I saw hundreds come to the Lord under his ministry, and he wanted me to lead teams in Africa. So I started reasoning, well, that's where I could be, doing this. Then, so I actually resigned. I had what they call a faith seizure. You know, a faith seizure where your faith sort of goes out the side door. Anybody ever have a faith seizure before? Yeah, okay. So this is one rule of principle. It's when you preach the truth, you're going to get opposition. And it can get pretty hot at times. And there's going to be a tendency to put on what I call Jonah joggers. You've heard of Jonah joggers? And, well, I had my Jonah joggers on. Well, that's what Jonah did, you know, and he was trying to flee from the call of God. Here was Nineveh, about 120,000 people, and God is calling to bring the message of repentance. He didn't want to go there because I guess they were pretty violent people. It doesn't really say why he didn't want to go, but he was angry with the whole thing anyway. And he went out in the sea, even bought a ticket to get away from the call. And then a violent wind came up. And, of course, the whole story ended up in a fish. Well, God didn't send a fish to me. He sent Pastor Dave Wilkerson. I went to a conference in Montreal. He was there with Claude Hood translating. He said, I'm going to go to this conference. And I'd already resigned. But I said to myself, I'm going to go to every altar call there is. I'll be the first one at the altar. Even if it's an altar call for women to go into ministry, I'm going to be there. So I went to every altar call. Pastor Dave gets down off there, and there was about 1,500 people there. He comes over to me, takes me by the lapel, and he says, devil, get your hands off him. He just shook the devil right out of me. And so I had to go home and unresign. And here's another principle I found is that when you have a faith seizure and you have your Nike Jonah joggers on and you're trying to run away from it, God will send somebody in your path to get you online again. That's a principle I've seen. God will put somebody in your path. So that's why it says, you know, in Hebrews 10:25, it says, let us not give up meeting together as some of are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more so as you see the day approaching. But one of the devil's tactics is this. He tries to get you off alone. Just be by yourself. And that's where he can fire those darts into your mind to go into your soul. And so I remember Pastor Carter and I, we didn't know anything from anything. We had no Bible training. And there was false prophets every week. Wolves coming out of the woodwork. Every week, some of them drive 2 hours just to go to church to cause a disturbance. And I remember Pastor Carter, I think he had his Jonah joggers on. He had them in the closet ready to roll a couple times too. So I'd give him this phrase. Is God allowing this? That's a good question to ask. If you're going through a rough time, first of all, you got to say to yourself, when what God calls you to, he'll see you through. Another good question to ask yourself when you're going through rough waters, is God allowing this? I remember saying it to him one time, is God allowing this? Yep. Then I was going through a rough time. Then he asked me the question, is God allowing this? So we fired this question back and forth. Finally, we burned our Jonah joggers and went on with the program. Now, Pastor Carr and I, we worked together for 8 years. Now we shared the same desk. He was called to New York, and I was called to northern New Brunswick, a little tiny area in the wilderness up there. But that place has a name. It's called, these are what the pastors call it. They call it Pastor's Cemetery and Wolf Haven. Those are two of the names. Because in 50 years, the longest that any pastor lasted, I think there was two that lasted 5 years. One church down, a Pentecostal church down the road from us, I think in 2 years, they went through 7 pastors. Now the church has a for sale sign on it. And I remember after 2 months being there, I looked at my wife, Mona, and I said, what has God called us into here? I said, what is this? But we knew we had the calling to go there. And everything was rising up and just, it was incredible what was going on. In our first 2 months there, the deacons, while we were, I think we were in New York at the time, they were planning secret meetings against us to have us ousted out. Seems to be my lot. They hadn't backed the other church, and now they're doing it again. And so here's the two deacons planning the secret meetings, and especially to zero in on my wife. And so I found out about it. So I had a deacons meeting. First point on the program, secret meetings. The guy didn't want to do it. So let's go to point three. No, I said, we're starting at point one. This is what the manual says about secret meetings, not having the pastor involved. He stood up, threw the key on the table, and the hatred that started speaking out of him. So I just went over and laid hands on him, rebuked the devil, and he shook for 45 minutes. And he was a deacon for 18 years in that area. But what God calls you to, hallelujah! You got God with you. You got the Holy Spirit with you. There's nothing to fear when you have the true call of God. He'll see you through anything. Another incident was this. We'd only been there just a few months. Church is full. I had a Josh McDowell book, you know, Right from Wrong. Everybody seen that book? Probably a good one to read because it was a study of about 20 evangelical churches and of the behavior of the young people in the church. Basically, the bottom line was that the people in the church were behaving no different than the people in the world. They were just having much sexual activity and all those other things. And so I was using this book, and I was using the Bible just to show you do a teaching on that. And so I quoted from the Josh McDowell book, this guy stands up in the back of the church. You should only be quoting out of the Bible! What would you do in a situation like that? What do you do? So what I did is that I explained to the church what I was doing. And we had young people there, everything like this. He says, here's a book, a study that was done, you know, with the churches, and this is what he says in the scriptures here, and this is what the Bible says. Does everybody understand? Everybody said, we understand. So I quoted from the book again. Stands up. You should only be quoting out of the Bible. So the Spirit had told me not to rebuke. But what it did, it fired on my preaching engines. Vroom, high gear. The Bible says this. This book says this. The Word of God says this. But what happened, you see, by me listening to the Spirit of God where it said, don't rebuke. See, if I had started rebuking him, he was considered to be a man of spiritual integrity who had been a deacon for, almost 20 years. But he had a cloak of spirituality that people thought he was something very spiritual when there was something else cooking in the furnace. And so by me listening to the Holy Spirit, by saying, don't rebuke, who got the better of the deal when I started going? He revealed himself for everybody. So the importance of listening to the Holy Spirit, if I hadn't listened, I could have lost probably the whole audience. But even the young teenagers say, what is wrong with that guy? There's something totally wrong. Well, he was under demon control, and he was a deacon for 18 years. My wife just saw him in the street just recently. Walking like that. Not submitted to any authority. Just totally gone. So, what God calls you to. And so, we didn't have to do anything. God exposed him in front of everybody because I listened to the Holy Spirit. What are you doing in this school? You're listening to the voice of God. Now, you listen to the voice of God, not your own spirit. God will see you through anything. He'll see you through it. No matter how much opposition you get. And see, we were called to an area where the Pentecostal church was in reproach. The evangelical churches were in reproach. They were a subject of mockery. There was splits, fightings, divisions. It was in the newspapers. So even on my church sign, I don't even have the word Pentecostal. I just put it, just when people ask, what type of church are you? Protestant. That way it's sort of, as soon as you say Pentecostal, and in a small community, how many know that bad news travels fast and it stays there for a long time? Long, long time. And so now God is opening doors for us. We put on a Christmas concert. Now, you have to mind, I don't have a big church. Never had big churches. Just a small group of people. You know what, 90 years old. But when we do a Christmas concert, it'll be standing room only. You have to send people away. And we put on these concerts where we preach the gospel. And it's packed out all the time. And God has used that now to raise funds for the Salvation Army. And I meet up with some businessmen now. And they're acknowledging, hey, something is going on here. With the cutback in government funding, the high school program, they had a feeding program, you know, where they feed the kids, because it was a very poor area, you know, 18% unemployment. And so for kids to have their meals, they got to have the feeding program at the school. Well, their funding was cut. So we sent them $2,200 just for their breakfast program. And the principal almost broke out in tears. That's the largest amount we've ever received from any group. And so that wall of reproach now, that stain of reproach is being rolled back. And it's been a long process because there was so much foolishness going on. Just last Christmas, I was asked to preach in the Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic Church. About 600 people, and I just preached the gospel. And we take our choir there. And they notice that. Because they have this Christmas choir, this Christmas concert. They have about 20 choirs there. And they sing all these mournful songs. You know, have you ever heard some of those mournful Christmas songs? And we go in, we go, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, with the kids singing. I said, what is going on here? And they see the difference. No, they actually see it. And they can sense the difference. The first time we sang in the Catholic Church, about 600 people, we got a standing ovation. It was so different from all those new sums of new day bordons de joie. Yuppie. For those who speak French, you know what that song is. That's the way it was. See, what God calls you to, He'll see you through. He'll give you the strategy. Now, I'm too dumb to know what has to be done. But when you're plugged in with Him, He'll give you the strategy for the area and whatever it is. I remember when Pastor Conlon called us, in this area where we were, there was no evangelical outreach for decades. And so we started, for the French people, we started praying for a building that we could have a church meeting at. And so I bumped into this, I don't know how it came across, but there was this Jewish syndicate. They had just finished $125,000 of renovations in this business that went bankrupt, and they're trying to sell the building. 10,000 square feet, 1.6 acres land, Cadillac building. And so I approached them, Pastor Conn, and said, well, why don't you just see if they'll take a tax receipt for it? This is a Jewish syndicate. So I went to them, I said, look, would you like to donate your building to our church? These are Jewish people now. And I said, we'll give you a tax receipt. So they looked into it. So we gave them I wrote a tax receipt, $200,000, and they gave us the building. See, I would never have thought of that. But God had it in His plans. See, what God calls you to, He'll see you through. Remember that, because ministry, boy, you can get in some really rough water sometimes. I just mentioned a couple incidents. Another one was this one woman. She hated my wife. She came to church Sunday evening. And I said, how are you doing? Not good. Pushes me into the chairs. Goes charging after my wife and starts yelling at her with her fist. You're the cause of all the problems. And so I had a meeting immediately with the deacons to discuss this mild altercation. And it ended up that this woman had bitterness against my wife because my wife reminded her of someone that she had bitterness from years ago. You're going to run into this type of stuff. So she came to church the next Sunday, couldn't worship, her whole face contorted like this. I'll never forget it. And she slid into the chair like a snake and never came back. See, you're in a war. There's people there who wonder demonic powers. But what God calls you to, never forget it. You're in a war, and what God calls you to, He'll see you through, no matter what type of stuff rises up against you. I've only got three left, the original group. When I started preaching the word, pew, 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 they started. I was down to 7-8 people, and quite a few weeks, I never had any salary coming in. And I had two young kids. But what God calls you to, I never missed anything. Never missed a meal, never missed anything. Matter of fact, some people, one time I received a donation, $10,000. They said, don't tell anybody. Don't tell your congregation. This is for you. I know what it's like to be in a small church. And you use that to get your family through. And that's exactly what happened. So, maybe one other incident. Here was a turning point. Just to show you how God works. When you are in God's call, no power of hell can knock you off it. Nothing can. I had a deacon. I've only been there a couple of years, and of course you inherit what you go into. And his wife was a church clerk. And he was causing a lot of ruckus, so I said, we've got to have a meeting. I had 13 points I wanted to discuss with him. He said, I want the whole council there. Fine by me. Bring the council on. So I started in point one. When I hit point two, he flew into a rage and left the church. At this time, the church was $8,000 in debt and going deeper rapidly. And then his wife, I said, oh, man, his wife, she's just as bad as he is, if not worse. And she had horns. So I went with a deacon upstairs and said, man, we got to pray that this woman will release the books. So we prayed up there praying. Within 1 hour, we got a call from her, come and get the books. Within 3 months, we were 3,000 in the black. Here's a principle. Is that in 1 Timothy 5:22, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man. This is in context of leadership. Neither be partaker of another man's sins. Keep thyself pure. That means if you have somebody in leadership, and some of you will be going into leadership, if you have some people that you've pointed into leadership and they're in sin, then you partake in what they're doing. As soon as they were removed, it affected the whole assembly. But what God calls you to, you see you through. No matter how big the waves get, no matter how rough it gets, God will see you through when you have the calling of God. He says here, I'll just end off with this. Of course, you know Romans 8:31. Write that one down. And Revelations 3:8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before you an open door. No man can shut it. And for thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. God will see you through anything. When you're walking a true call of God, he'll see you through. So you got to remember what? God bless you all.
Amen. Wasn't that wonderful? I'm telling you, we really need to lay hold on these truths that were imparted today. I saw many of you taking notes. Remember to keep those notes because, believe it or not, as you go into the call of God, those notes will come in handy in your future. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? What God has called us to, he will see us through. What an amazing truth that is. And so with that, let's go ahead and stand. We're going to close in prayer. I got to take Pastor Glenn to Sister Catherine's house. And so, really, truly, bathe these words in prayer. Keep them in your heart and let them work in your spirit and believe the Lord to allow those to come back to you in your future. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you with all of our hearts for these words that were shared today. I do pray that, Lord God, all of our hearts would be fertile ground, O God. Break up any fallow ground that would be there. And let these words, Lord God, bring life, spiritual life into our hearts for the future. And Lord God, we pray for your blessing to be upon Pastor Glenn. We pray that, Lord God, you'd continue to use him here, even as he speaks to the men later on. Lord God, we ask that you would use him. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray against any backlash of the devil, Lord God. Remove the enemy out of his way. And Lord, we pray that you'd continue to use him here. Lord, we ask that you'd go with us, bless the food to our bodies, make it nourishing, and we do pray that you'd provide for the hungry throughout this world, Lord. Go with us, we ask, and we thank you once again for teaching us, for speaking to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.